Hey, it's Kirsten. Do you feel like you're spending way too much money on supplements? When I started out on my health journey, I was also shocked about how expensive high-quality supplements were, especially as I was upping how many I was taking. That's why when I became a practitioner back in 2018, I started offering my clients a way to save up to 25% off many of their supplements through a company called Wellevate, which is spelled Wellevate. Through Wellevate, you can order many of the supplements that you're already taking, like Pure Encapsulations, Gaia Herbs, Enzymedica, and others at discounts of up to 25% off retail. And shipping is free for orders over $49 within the United States. The only way to buy supplements through Wellevate is through a practitioner, and I will earn a small commission at no additional cost to you while you're saving money. So if you want to start saving upwards of 25% off your supplement bill, go to the resources page on my website at carefullyhealing.com/resources and go to the Wellevate section. You don't have to be a client, just set up your account and start saving. I'm Kirsten Ramstrom, a certified holistic health coach, and welcome to the Quest for Healing podcast. Whether you're just starting out on your health journey or you're farther down your path, I've created this podcast to inspire and inform your health journey through first, some extraordinary healing stories from real people, second, an exploration of some intriguing healing modalities, and third, through conversations with enterprising people who are making a difference in the health of our world. Welcome to episode 59. The holiday season is now in full swing. Happy Hanukkah to you and your family if you're celebrating. I'm so excited to welcome Meltem Evmez back to the podcast. You may remember her from episode 30 back in May of this year when we talked about her health journey and how she dealt with body pain, migraines, and gut issues. But this time we're shifting our focus. Meltem is a certified yoga teacher, so I've asked her back to talk about how yoga can provide physical and mental benefits for your health journey. Plus, she's just launched a new YouTube channel called Rise with Meltem. It's R-I-S-E with Meltem, M-E-L-T-E-M, and she's designed a series of 10-minute beginner yoga videos just for the medical medium community so that you can add some yoga into your day in between your lemon water and your celery juice in the morning. So be sure to check those out, and I'll put a link in the show notes too. But before we go to the episode, are you starting to sweat because your holiday shopping isn't done yet and you're having trouble coming up with gift ideas? If so, check out my Quest for the Best Holiday Gift Guide. It has more than 25 gift ideas, including things for the kitchen, personal care items, and some things like music and books as well. I kicked it off with a couple of money-saving ideas as well so that you can stretch your holiday budget even further. You can find the holiday gift guide on my blog at carefullyhealing.com/post/HGG2021, and that stands for Holiday Gift Guide 2021. I will also put a link to that in the show notes. Please note that I will be providing updates and timely money-saving specials on my Instagram account, so stay tuned there at Carefully Healing with Kirsten. And so with no further ado, let's go to the episode with Meltem. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Kirsten. Thank you so much for having me again.
You are my first guest that I've had on more than once. So this is a monumental day. I'm very excited.
Oh, now I'm more excited even. Definitely looking forward.
So I'm really excited today that we're going to talk about yoga and really dig into this in terms of all of the different aspects of the health benefits of yoga. One of the things I like to feature on the podcast is other modalities that are complementary to the lifestyle that we're all living. And there are so many people in the community who do yoga, love yoga, but I know there's a lot of other people who don't know that much about it. And so I wanted to do an episode so that if people are interested in yoga or want to learn more about it and explore it a little bit more, that we can do that.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. Definitely.
Awesome. So Meltem, I'm really excited to dig into this. And the first thing I wanted to get into was how you found yoga and how this figured into your health journey. As people may remember, we had spoken previously in episode 30. That was your episode where we talked about your health journey for anybody who wants to go back to it and get into some of the details of some of the issues that you were dealing with. But I know you had had back pain, shoulder pain, scoliosis, and other things. So why don't you talk to us about how you got to yoga and how that figured in?
Yeah, gosh, that is actually one of the reasons why I started yoga, definitely. When I was sick, and like many others, I was jumping to one doctor to the next or looking for kind of like a relief and find answers. So I booked a session with this practitioner. She's a medical intuitive. That means she can see like in the energy fields of the people, what is going on health-wise. And I was hoping to find answers by the session. So what was really interesting, of course, she could see my gut issues and everything, but she could really sense like in my energy field. And also she was telling me that I was having some thyroid issues, that my thyroid is kind of like slowed down. My digestion is slowed down. She can see that. By that time, I didn't know that I had, later on, I was diagnosed with Hashimoto. So that was really interesting that she could already see that. So it was, she was seeing the chakras. So I don't know if you know about chakras, but it was about like seeing like where the issues were.
So why don't you talk us through what chakras are and how they work a little bit?
Yes. So chakras are energy fields in the body. They're like, they're aligned along the spine, and they're like, and the hip is one chakra, then stomach area, heart. They're like different chakras governing different organs and also different aspects of your life, like emotional wise, and also like how grounded you are or rooted you are in your family, and you know where you belong to. These, the chakras governs these aspects of your life. And she could see like in my lower chakras, I was having these kind of issues. And by the end of the session, she was telling me what I could do, like some sort of chakra meditations, but also that yoga, everyone who does yoga has a very strong root chakra. And that was my main problem, the root chakra, which is actually make sure that you are financially stable, that you found your tribe and your family in life. So when she told me that about also how yoga is strengthening the root chakra, I knew that I want to do that. And that kind of led me to explore yoga more in depth.
Awesome. So for people who don't know much about yoga, why don't you talk a little bit about what yoga practice can involve and maybe about the different kinds of yoga? Because I know there's a bunch of different kinds too.
So like, what is actually yoga? Yoga comes from the Sanskrit word yuj, which means to unite. Yoke, actually, to bring together God and soul, body, breath, and mind. It's a union. So that's the goal of yoga. It's not a religion, which some people kind of feel like it is. It's a spiritual path, yes, but it doesn't matter what you believe in. You can incorporate yoga without any kind of like issues. I will say to your own religion, whatever you believe in.
Okay.
And, so there are different kind of yogas. So in the West, when we talk about yoga or think about yoga, we think it's the physical postures, it's the asanas, like the physical practice. But yoga is far more than that.
Can you talk a little bit more about the spiritual aspects of yoga?
So the spiritual aspects of yoga is there are different types. And I'm referencing now from the eight limbs of yoga. Ashtanga Yoga, which comes from Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. And he wrote the sutras to give references of how to live your life and interact with others in your journey of life. Let's say there is like ahimsa, nonviolence, then truthfulness, being also always telling the truth to others, but also to yourself. Then what to eat, how to clean your body. So it's easier to connect with your soul or the higher spirit or with God, whoever you want to take it. And these are all outlined in yoga. So asana actually comes on the third spot. So first, it's about like the moral codes and making sure you're living a good life. And then it continues with the asana practice. And then it's also breath control, because our breath is actually what keeps us alive. The breath is so essential in how we feel and how we respond to certain situations. And when we can control our breath, we can also control our nervous system, which is also a very important part in yoga. It's about balancing, bringing your body in homeostasis and balancing your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system so you can have more control of the way you act. And that's about what yoga is.
So this is interesting because it really isn't just about the physical. While yes, it's physical poses, but with the breath work and the ethical codes and everything else, I see why people would confuse this with a religion, because it does have sort of a guiding set of principles. But it seems to me that it's trying to come up with a combination of things, as you were just saying, to help us lead sort of a fuller, complete life. And it touches on so many of those aspects.
Yes, exactly.
So how do those codes bring themselves into the practice?
Okay. So one is, which I love, is saucha. That means cleanliness, to cleanse the body outside as well. So before you should get step on the mat, you got to make sure you take a shower and put on fresh clothes.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. So you don't want to have this body smell. And it's not just for the mat. So also when you interact with others, to take a shower, to put on fresh clothes, or also about like nonviolence, let's say, you don't want to push yourself on the mat. You don't want to just achieve and push through challenging poses and maybe hurt yourself and have a muscle tear. So these codes are all like to make sure that you being aware and mindful of the way you do things and to see what your mind wants to do. So our mind is constantly going. And that is what yoga is. That's actually the first verse is yoga's citta vritti nirodaha. That means yoga is to ease the cessations of the mind, because our mind is constantly going, and we cannot hold focus. That's why actually we're in the West, we're doing yoga asana, because we cannot sit still. Have you tried to meditate?
Oh my God, I'm a disaster when I try to meditate. Yes.
All of us, our body hurts. We cannot sit still for even 5 minutes. We cannot have an erect spine. There's constantly something going on. And that's why asana comes into place, the yoga postures. It's about healing the body first, making sure that the body is in a good state, in a healthy state. And then by concentrating on the poses, you're focusing. So mostly like traditional yoga, there's a drishti. Drishti means a focus point. So your eyes not wandering around. When you hold a pose, every pose has a drishti. So you focus that, like, let's say when I do a pose, I'm focusing on my middle finger, or I look up to my thumbs, or I look down to my navel. And this kind of helps to keep the focus and strengthen my concentration. That's why like the yoga practice is not just you go to the gym or a workout. No, it becomes a mindfulness practice.
You know, that was one of the things I always loved about yoga class. Because not only did my body feel good when I came out of it, my mind was quieter. When I lived in Chicago, I had a class that I used to go to, and I made every effort to never miss it. It was 8 o'clock on Saturday morning. And what I loved about that was it set me up for the rest of the weekend, because it cleared my mind out. And I felt like my body felt good. My mind felt good. This is so helpful, because it's what you were saying before is so many people think it's a religion, and I've heard that before and I never really understood it, but your explanation really makes sense. This is great. And so there are different kinds of yoga classes and different styles of yoga. Can you talk about those a little bit? Because I know there's some pretty big differences with some of them.
Yes. So there's Bikram yoga and hot yoga. Bikram yoga is practiced also in a hot room, around 104 degrees Fahrenheit and 40 degrees Celsius. So it's pretty hot. And the idea behind it is when you're warm and your muscles are kind of like warmed up already, and it's unlikely you have injuries, but you sweat a lot. And the heat is very, like, I cannot do it, hot yoga. Yeah, it doesn't feel good on me.
I've taken that a few times too. And it can be really overpowering how hot it is, especially the class I was taking was an hour and a half long. That was a lot. And I would really hesitate to do a class like that now just because of my adrenals.
Yes. So it totally runs the adrenals. And if you have any kind of adrenal issues, which a lot of people have, you should be careful when choosing a class like that. And then there is Ashtanga yoga, also the Vinyasa yoga, and Hatha yoga. So Ashtanga and Vinyasa yoga are kind of like similar. Every pose is involved with a breath and a breath cycle. So you're not having any kind of like a couple breath where you just stand and take a pause. You kind of like go 90 minutes all the way through.
And the breath is synced to the movements that you're making. So you're inhaling on one move and exhaling on the next move. And it's all purposefully tied together with that, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Which is also really great to focus on and keeps you going. So it's a good cardio workout, and it can also put a strain on your adrenals because it's a more intense yoga. And then there's the Hatha yoga, which I love and practice as well. The combination of Ashtanga and Hatha, but Hatha is one of my favorites too, because it's where you hold a pose or between 5 long breaths or 10 shorter breaths. So depending on how deep you're breathing and how long you can breathe, like one inhale and exhale. Yes, and you hold the poses longer, and therefore you can kind of really sink into the pose, like feel the pose. And with every exhalation, you kind of like go a little bit more. And it's actually a great class for beginners or advanced people, because you can adapt that to your level. And then Kundalini yoga, it's very famous. And it's actually Kundalini yoga, yoga of energy. The main goal is to awaken the Kundalini, which is the female energy Shakti in your spine that sits in the root of your spine. And the movements are made to awaken the energy within it and move that up your spine so it reaches your crown chakra. It's really nice. I did that once or twice, I think, and I also enjoyed it.
I took a class in that once too when I was in Sedona, and it was amazing because I'm used to doing more of the Ashtanga and Hatha yoga where you're doing poses and whatnot. And this was, at least from what I remember, it was less about the pose, a lot more about the breathing. It's like every pose was essentially, from what I recall, to facilitate a breathing pattern, which sometimes it was long, deep breaths. Sometimes it was more forced short breaths, but it was this exercise of driving lots of energy through the body. And it was incredible.
Yes. It's the breath is actually really helpful in that it's kind of like a forceful to bring up all that energy. And yes, it's very refreshing, I will say.
And what about a couple of others?
There is yin yoga, which is a very slow paced class. And it's also holding the poses long with props mainly to really ease into it. And you're not really focusing on your breath much. You just focus on releasing the body more into the pose, ease into it. And it's a great to balance when you have a stressful day to bring your mind down, to calm your mind down. So that is something I would definitely recommend also for evening, or if you have also a hard time to slow down and fall asleep, it always helps me.
Awesome.
And then restorative yoga. It's a yoga that you mainly do in a class, I will say, because you need a lot of props for it.
What are the kinds of props that they usually use for classes like that?
They use a lot of the bolsters, like big bolsters, and a lot of blankets, and sometimes like eye pillows. And the thing is, in restorative yoga, to be able to really like get yourself into the pose, like ease into it, it's good that you have a teacher who helps you with the props to set yourself up.
And so the teacher can help guide you from the place that you are right now, individually in your body, to get you to where you're trying to go, or at least get you into your practice, correct?
Yes.
Awesome. So for somebody who hasn't practiced yoga before, why would they want to start practicing it?
So the benefit of yoga is to bring together your body, breath, and mind, and it calms down your nervous system. So it's a great tool if you want to be in your body and feel your body again, get connected to it. It helps to go through those emotions as well that sometimes sits in our bodies that we are not aware of. Or sometimes we're just so not used to practice with our body in a way, and due to forward folds, bends, and whatever, that we get disconnected. And this is one of the main reasons why yoga is so helpful, especially when you're not feeling well.
You know, this really resonates with me because what you've just described is the feeling that I always got from yoga was a much deeper connection with myself. It was my body and my mind, however you want to think about your mind, whether it be emotionally or spiritually or whatnot, but it did reconnect me sort of inside. Because I always feel like so much of life is what I'm reacting to of what's going on outside of me. But when I take that time to do some yoga, it really brings me right inside. And I think it's so important on a health journey, right? Because you're doing all these other things that are focusing on your health. But again, a lot of it's on the outside, right? You're making food and you're trying to figure out some of this other stuff. But I feel like reestablishing that connection inside is so important.
Yes, absolutely. And yoga is a great way to teach us how we react or respond to certain situations that are external, not in our hand. So the reason why we do challenging poses in yoga is to be calm when everything else gets very loud and active. So when we learn to be easy and have a calm mind and a steady breath, when we are in a challenging pose, we're teaching our nervous system that it's okay, that we don't have to get in a fight or flight mode, that we can totally ease in. When we get off the mat, we kind of continue that practice. So that means when something going on outside or internally as well, that we remain a steady and calm mind, which is so important that our adrenals are not running, that our nervous system stays calm, because it is so challenging already in our society, at work, whatever else is going on. And that's the main practice of yoga, why we do that.
That makes so much sense to me, because we make better decisions when we're not operating in fight or flight. So we can respond instead of react to what's going on around us and do it from a much, what I think of as a stable place. And yes, it certainly protects our adrenals at the same time.
Absolutely. I mean, just to think about a situation where you kind of like get emotional, maybe your whole body tightens up, your breath is getting short, and we're just really alarmed. And I can say now, like looking back on my journey, it helped me a lot to also be less reactive and not also get so emotional right away, to have more calm mind. And I think, like, for me, that's the main benefit why I practice. Yeah.
Wonderful. And so if somebody wanted to find a yoga class and start exploring a yoga practice, do you have any advice for them on how to do that?
Yes, totally. So first I would go to a beginner class. Beginner classes are great to start to see like where you are with your body. I want to put it that way. And also how the teachers are in a beginner class, because it's important that the teacher is seeing in what kind of level you are. So that means if you're also struggling with basic postures, that he or she gives you alternatives to give you some adjustments maybe, or some tips. So you don't want to have just be in a class where the teacher is not really giving any kind of alternatives. That is one main thing.
I dealt with this a lot in classes because I've had issues with my shoulders over time. I've had issues with my knees over time. And the very good teacher I had in Chicago, she finally told me, she said, when you hit a pose that you can't do because of some of those limitations, she said, instead of just completely stopping, there are always alternatives. Tell me and I will give you an alternative because you can keep your practice going. You don't have to stop and wait for the next thing. You can keep going, but it's all about that communication so you can have your own complete practice, but find what's most comfortable and most appropriate for your body.
Exactly. And that's a great example. You can tell that that's a good teacher. And usually teachers also start with least challenging pose, and then from there they build up. And that's something that you can also tell that's a good teacher and not just go straight away to the challenging poses.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Any other tips of what we should be looking for in a teacher?
Well, I will say just to find a teacher that you personally connect to and where you really feel like she gets me, he gets me, and makes me feel comfortable in a class. I think that's one very important aspect of it. I have also one more thing is for a good class, a good teacher, make sure you're doing forward folds, like back bends, twistings, and balancing poses should be in a class to have a complete practice.
And why is that?
Because a good yoga practice balances out the body. It has forward folds, back bends in it to compensate it and make you feel, that you don't feel like, oh, okay, this part is less stretched you just feel overall balanced when you do a practice like that.
Fantastic. And so the other thing I wanted to talk about is your new videos on YouTube.
Yes, I'm so excited about it.
Me too. So why don't you tell us first where we can find these videos and then tell us what they are and what they're all about.
All right. So you will find them on my YouTube channel, Maltam Avemas.
And I'll put a link to that in the show notes.
These are short practices that you can do between your lemon water and your celery juice. And it's a great way to release neuromuscular tension, to calm your mind, and to mobilize joints, and to start bringing together your breath with the movement.
Fantastic. And I love the idea that you've designed these to be done in that period of time between lemon water and celery juice, because it gives us a chance with that little window of time every morning to get in a piece of exercise that if you don't have a chance to do anything else during the day, what a great way to kick off the day.
Yes, totally. I mean, it's a great way to start the day as well, to get connected. Our body is stiff. We're sleeping all night, and just to move, bring a little movement to the spine to wake the body up. I think it's a great way.
Fantastic. I'm so excited. I just love this. So if people want to find you elsewhere on social media, where can they find you?
Well, you can find me on IG. My handle is Rise with Maltam, or on my website, which is maltamavemas.com.
Perfect. And I'll put links to that in the show notes so everybody can find you.
Thank you so much. That is so great.
You're so welcome. I am so excited for these new videos. I hope people will take a look at them and check them out. I just love having something that's sort of tailored to the day that we have, right? Because all of us who are following this medical medium lifestyle, we are getting up and having lemon water in the morning and having celery juice in the morning. And I do love that it's a wonderful way to start the day. As you were saying, you can get out of bed and stretch your back out and have a great start of the day doing that. So I so appreciate you being on here and talking to us about this.
Thank you so much for having me and yes, for helping me to put them out. And I'm excited for you to check them out and let me know if you like them. And I'm really excited about it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being on again. My first second guest.
Yes, I'm so happy to be here again.
And I'm so happy to have you. I hope you found this episode helpful. Show notes for this episode, episode 59, are available through your podcast provider like Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you followed Quest for Healing. And they're also on my website at carefullyhealing.com/podcast. There are links there for Meltem's YouTube channel, Rise with Meltem, where you can find her yoga videos so that you can fit a little yoga into your morning between your lemon water and your celery juice, or frankly, any time of the day if you just have a few minutes. You can also find the links to the holiday gift guide as well. For next week's episode, my guest is Amy Jones. She's a soul healing practitioner, and we're going to be talking about sorting through emotions and beliefs on your health journey and getting more in touch with your intuition. Amy is so fun to talk to, and I think you'll really enjoy this episode. Please make sure to follow Quest for Healing so that you don't miss it. And as always, if you've been enjoying the Quest for Healing podcast, please leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you for joining me today on the Quest for Healing podcast. These discussions are not intended to provide medical advice, but rather to give you examples of methods and modalities that you may find interesting, informative, or helpful. Please work with your doctor as you undertake your own health journey. Hey, it's Kirsten. Before I started out on my health journey, I didn't know how poisonous many of the cleaners I used in my home were. Then when I started trying to clean the toxins out of my body, I started to question if the cleaners I was using were just adding back more. And how does that make sense when we're using toxic chemicals to get things clean? So imagine how excited I was when I found non-toxic, fragrance-free, essential oil-free Branch Basics cleaners. Now I use them for many things around my house, including scrubbing my kitchen and bathroom, cleaning my juicer, and as the laundry detergent for cleaning my clothes. Plus, it's also the soap that I use to wash my fruit because it's also sodium lauryl sulfate free. So check out branchbasics.com. Their starter kits make it so easy to get started, and you can use my code CAREFULLYHEALING, which is all one word, for 15% off your purchase. And because I always want to be upfront with you, this is an affiliate link, so I will earn a small commission if you buy using my code. But I only recommend this product because I love it and use it myself. So if you're ready to start cleaning your home with a healthier cleaner, go to branchbasics.com.